अहम हित्वा सम्मुत सुखु सुखा आयो विसृत्य सम्यावं अनुर्वस्यापरायु. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. Some of the gopis were milking cows. When they heard Krishna's flute, they stopped milking and went off to meet them. Some left milk curdling on the stove, and others left cakes burning in the oven. Some of them were getting dressed, feeding milk to their infants, or rendering personal service to their husbands. But they all gave up their duties and went to meet Krishna. Other gopis were taking their evening meals, washing themselves, putting on cosmetics, or applying kajal to their eyes. But all the gopis stopped these activities at once, and though their clothes and ornaments were in complete disarray, rushed off to Krishna. Their husbands, fathers, brothers, and other relatives tried to stop them, but Krishna had already stolen their hearts. Enchanted by the sound of his flute, they refused to turn back. Some of the young gopis were married, and their husbands tried to stop them. The unmarried girls had to deal with their fathers and brothers and other relatives. None of these relatives would have ordinarily allowed even the young girls dead bodies to go alone into the forest at night. But Lord Krishna had already engaged his internal potency, and thus the entire romantic episode unfolded without interference. Om Agyan Timidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namaha Vanshakalpatadubhyaschakripasindubhyadevacha Patithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunathanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that the love of the gopis of Sri Brajbhumi for Lord Sri Krishna is the ultimate and highest platform of divine bhakti. That categorically, the sweetness of the surrender of the Braj gopis is unparalleled even amongst the greatest and most highly realized transcendentalist. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the gopis' love for Krishna was based on the highest principles of renunciation. Here we find on the full moon night of the Sarat season, Lord Sri Krishna who is Shyam Sundara, having a beautiful blackish complexion. He went to that beautiful spot on the bank of the Jamuna, under the holy Bamsi Bhat tree, and there he played the fifth note of his celebrated flute. And when the sound of that blessed flute filled the atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham with its sweet song, the gopis, hearing it, they became captivated. Their minds were so much attracted that they became utterly indifferent to all of their worldly responsibilities, as well as all of their material designations. Krishna played upon his flute specifically to call the gopis' hearts unto his lotus feet. And when Krishna calls, the great devotees allow nothing to stand between them and their beloved Lord. Here we find Shukadev Goswami explaining that when the gopis heard the sweetness of Krishna's flute, their minds became maddened. They knew that Krishna was calling for them, and their life, their soul, their everything was simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Without second thoughts, they immediately reciprocated with Krishna's desire. They left their homes, something very, very difficult to do, especially for a young girl. It is being described here by Shukadev Goswamiji that some of the gopis, they were milking cows, but they stopped milking them without even moving the bucket from beneath them and went off to meet Krishna. Some were cooking milk on the stove. They left the milk to boil over. When Krishna calls, they didn't even feel that they had time to remove the pot from the stove. Others were cooking cakes in the oven. How much time does it take to move those cakes out of the oven? Maybe a few seconds. But the gopis, the intensity of their desire to please Krishna is, if Krishna calls, we do not even have 1/12 of a second to spare. They left the cakes to burn. Some were getting dressed, and it is explained that they dressed in such haste that they put the top part of their clothing on the bottom part of their body and the bottom part of their clothing on the top part of their body. They were not even cognizant of the external forms. They were only absorbed in meditation on pleasing Krishna. Some of them were feeding milk to their infants. We all know what type of intimate love a mother has for an infant child. How much she's constantly meditating on the welfare of her helpless baby. But the gopis, they simply removed their breast from their child and just set him down to leave him as they ran to the forest to meet Lord Sri Krishna. Some were rendering personal services to their husbands, but they gave up their duties instantly to meet Krishna. Ah, the relationship between a wife and a husband is generally either one of intimate love or great fear. But they disregarded both. As they were sitting beside their husband rendering personal services to them, right before their very eyes, they just left their services to go meet Krishna. Other gopis were taking their evening meals. But when Krishna calls, we become utterly callous to our own needs and our own desires. They left their meals undone, sitting on the tables or at the floors, washing themselves. They put on cosmetics, applying kajal to their eyes. The gopis stopped all these activities at once. And though their clothes and ornaments were in complete disarray, they rushed off to see Krishna. And their husbands and their fathers and their brothers very strictly forbid them to leave the house in the middle of the night to meet another man alone. And they tried with all their power to stop them. But Krishna had already stolen their hearts. Enchanted by the sound of his flute, they refused to turn back. Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga, has explained that this is the perfection of renunciation. Not only did the gopis give up all their security in life, but they gave up their reputation and their prestige in society. It is said in the Shastra that the greatest emotional need for a woman is security and protection. And therefore, at every stage of a woman's life, she is supposed to be protected, either by her father or her husband or her elder sons. But see, the gopis, they completely abandon any concern for their own protection. It is explained here, they were not aware that all the gopis were going. They were thinking, each one, that they were going alone. What does that mean? Their husbands, their fathers, their brothers forbade them to go. Therefore, it was inevitable that they would never be allowed to return home ever. For a husband to accept an unchaste woman as a wife, according to civilized Vedic culture, is never to be done. They were breaking their chastity. And for a virtuous woman, chastity is more dear to her than her very life. Not only is her reputation completely based on the degree of her chastity, but the dignity of her own existence within her own mind is utterly dependent on how chaste and faithful she is to her husband. We know the story of Draupadi, how in the assembly of the Kurus, when Dushasana was on the order of Duryodhana and Karna, attempting to take the sari from Draupadi's body. And because Draupadi was a chaste woman, she understood There is no pain, there is no disgrace so terrible as violating one's chastity. She considered this millions and billions and trillions infinitely worse than death. A wholesome woman will easily die before giving up their chastity. This is how precious and valuable it is, their very life and soul. And in Vedic culture, a woman is respected practically exclusively on the basis of her chastity. In Vedic culture, people did not respect women because of their professional abilities, but they were respected according to their chastity and their faithfulness. The gopis were willing to go to the forest. Who would feed them for the rest of their lives? They were just innocent young girls. Who would take care of them? Who would give them clothes? Where would they sleep? They didn't care for these things. And to be an utter disgrace in the eyes of the whole society and lose the dignity of one's own reputation and one's own inner feelings toward oneself by giving up chastity, they didn't care. There was only one thing on their mind: Krishna is calling. My life is simply meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Let everything else come or let everything else go. But if I can please Krishna on this very night, that is my life and soul. This is the quality of the gopi's love. And we see in the beautiful story, when Krishna had the headache, and he requested the dust from the feet of his devotee to apply to his head, no one was willing to do it. The great sages in the forest, the great yogis, the great learned Vedantists, they were all asked personally, Krishna has headache. He wants the dust of your feet to put on his head. That only will relieve it. But they all knew the etiquette between the servant and the master, between the Lord and his devotee, that we are always subordinate to the Lord. If we put the dust of our feet on Krishna's head, we will go to hell forever. And it is true. But when the damsels of Vrindavan were asked for the dust of their feet, they immediately collected that dust from their lotus feet and told the messenger, please rush and put this on Krishna's head. Do you not know that you will go to hell forever for this offense? Yes, anyone knows that. Of course we know, but we don't mind. If even for one second we can relieve Krishna of his headache, we are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity. That is the quality of the surrender of the gopis of Vrindavan. And of course, no one can imitate this quality of bhakti. But we are all meant to follow in the footsteps of the servants, of the servants, of the servants of the gopis. When we speak about gopi bhava or manjari bhava, first of all, do we have this quality of total surrender, total sacrifice? the absolute abandonment of all self-identity, of even the slightest trace of desire, the willingness to suffer in hell, the willingness to suffer total disgrace, not for eternal residence in Goloka Vrindavan, but just to give Krishna even a minute of satisfaction. This is the gopi's love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed that what is the goal of life? Naham vipro na cha narapatir napi vaisho na shudro naham varin na cha grihapatir no vanashto vipir va kintu prodya nikila paramananda punamritad bhair gopi bharathur patakamala yora das 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 anudas. Not to be a learned Brahmin, not to be a powerful, famous Kshatriya, not to be a wealthy, wealthy, distinguished, and influential Vaishya, nor to be an obedient and loyal Sudra, not to be a very renounced and highly spiritually evolved sannyasi, not to be a simple and surrendered brahmachari, not to be a very charitable, magnanimous, and Krishna-conscious grihastha, nor even to be a vanaprastha who has abandoned everything. Mahaprabhu explained that his only goal was to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, Anu, the most insignificant particle of dust at the feet of the servants of the gopis. Even the most exalted devotee in all of Dwarka, Uddhav, he was the closest friend of Krishna. Even Krishna's queens were struck with wonder to see the intimacy between Uddhava and Krishna, because he was practically constantly with Krishna. In Dwarka Dham, Krishna, whatever was on his mind, personally, officially, he would always discuss with Uddhava. And when Uddhava saw the quality of the gopi's love when he visited Vrindavan, he realized that in comparison to them, he had no love at all. He had no affection at all. Although Uddhava was constantly at the side of Krishna, playing with him, talking with him, doing seva with him, sitting with him, laying with him, eating with him, and the gopis were completely apart from Krishna physically, Uddhava, the constant companion, was seeing the condition of the gopis who were in total separation. Krishna left them and he left Vrindavan. But when he saw the quality of their love in separation, he realized that in comparison to them, his affection was like a drop compared to the ocean. And then he prayed to Lord Sri Krishna that if you want to fulfill my desire, give me this blessing that I can become a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that the gopis may step on my head with their lotus feet. And certainly, I am not worthy or qualified to be stepped upon by the lotus feet of the gopis. So if I am a blade of grass in Vrindavan, perhaps one of the associates, near or even distant of the gopis, will step on my head. And that will be the perfection of my life. to follow in the footsteps and be the servant of the servant and the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan is the highest path of pure bhakti. And what does it mean to follow in their footsteps? It means to strive and to pray that someday we can also learn to make Krishna our only object of love, to completely surrender to Him. Sarvadharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshai sami ma suchaha. Krishna says, you abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Here in these pages of the Bhagavatam we are reading this morning, we find the perfection of that surrender. They had so much faith and so much trust in Krishna that they were willing to abandon everything for His sake. They were willing to totally risk their lives without hesitation, without question, to please Krishna. In whatever service we are doing, whether we are pujaris, whether we are preachers, whether we are grihastas with jobs or students, we should be striving to perform our service in this mood. Not artificially the mood of conjugal love, but the mood of surrendering everything without hesitation as the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna. With no fear, with no hesitation. Sri Krishna Sharanamam, to simply take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet is our only object of meditation and our only purpose of life. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Renunciation of these gopis, which it has been said, well, we have to be the servant of the servant of the servant of gopis. But seeing this highest form of renunciation, even Krishna puts us into the difficulties, all sorts of tragedies in our life, just to become nearer to Krishna, come to nearer to Krishna, just to have that surrender attitude. And even if we strive our level best, even if we read Bhagavatam for our whole lifetime, hearing, chanting, everything which we do it, but it's damn certain about it that we can't reach to the servant attitude also, seeing this such a high level of surrender of gopis. We can't, because even Uddhava also, he is reaching to that level, he can't also reach, he's also thinking of not reaching the servant of the servant of the servant level also. So even we can't also, because whatever has been said of reading Bhagavatam, hearing, doing the surrender's attitude, everything, there also we can't reach to that level. Is it so that although we might strive, but yet it is damn certain we'll not be able to reach it? Is it so that Krishna will accept us, or he will take us back to his Godhead, unless and until, if at all we don't reach it, Krishna will not think that we are a perfect candidate, or is it will do some concession for us, because we can't reach to this level?
We cannot reach to this level. But if we please Krishna by our humility, by our service attitude, then Krishna, by His causeless mercy, He brings us to this level. You cannot artificially imitate, nor can you ever acquire these qualities by your own endeavor, by your own cultivation of knowledge, by your own renunciation. But if you simply, with all humility, become the servant of the servant of the Lord and please Him in this spirit without expecting anything in return, Krishna awakens this bhava, this divine love within your heart. It is a causeless gift of Sri Krishna. It is nothing that has anything to do with what you can do. It is simply, Krishna is the all-attractive, but he is bhakti-vatsal. He is attracted by the sincere efforts of his devotee. The goal of our life, by pleasing our spiritual master and by pleasing the Vaishnavas, and by seriously following their instructions to always chant the holy names in a humble spirit like a blade of grass, Sri Radharani is very pleased with us. We see on the altar Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji. Radharani is in a very merciful posture. She is not just blessing her devotees, but she is offering our lives to the lotus feet of Sri Gopinath. When we humbly serve our Guru and please our Guru, when we humbly serve and please the Vaishnava devotees, we please Sri Radharani. And then she offers us to Krishna. And when Sri Radharani accepts our service, she has the supreme power to give us entrance into her loving Leela with Sri Krishna. What is the gopis? The gopis are the confidential assistants of Sri Radharani. When she sees our sincere desire to please and serve her devotees, by her causeless mercy, she gives us entrance into the bhav of pure love.
The biggest test for the gopis, when they renounced everything, they left everything, and when they came to Krishna, after coming also, Krishna started testing them and telling them, you have done everything wrong, and you go back to the house. Now, that again, it's such a big thing that when they have left everything and then also they have been rejected. So, that we can't, of course, once we go nearer to spiritual, means once we try to surrender it, and after coming to surrender level, and then also we have been told you get
this
lost.
This is the extent of Krishna's demand for total surrender upon his devotees. That even after risking everything, abandoning internally and externally everything of their life, Krishna rejected them. Why did he reject them? Just to put them in a situation where after surrendering everything, they had to surrender even more than that. And they were willing to do so. In breaking their hearts, Krishna showed them that even if you surrender everything, do not think that that will purchase me. We are never the controllers of Krishna. We are always under his control. But Krishna's apparent momentary lila of rejecting them was only to increase their love, increase their surrender, and make themselves even more intensely depending on the mercy of the Lord and on the love of the Lord. Krishna never abandons his devotee. When he appears to do so, for the neophyte, he is doing it for our purification, and for the advanced souls, he is doing it simply to increase the quality of their ecstatic love. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisa kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavata bhakti rahoita kitvai. I only want to be your servant unconditionally. Krishna wanted to reveal to the world the unconditional surrender of the gopis. Even after giving up everything, unconditional means then Krishna can do anything he wants with us. Ashlisya va padaratam panashtu mama darshanam marmahatam karoti va yatadatatavidatulampato matpranatastu sa eva naparaha. That even after risking your life, foregoing all comforts, all securities, giving up everything of this world, bearing insult, physical pain, everything. At that stage, Mahaprabhu prays, now Krishna, I've surrendered everything to you. I have nothing else. Now you do what you like with me. If you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can trample on me. Or if you like, you can be broke, you can make me brokenhearted by leaving me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the quality of the gopis' love in this verse. And in our life, we should simply strive and make our singular goal to come to this platform of unconditional love. Any other questions?
Maharaj, gopis had only the desire to please Krishna. Whatever they were doing was only for his pleasure. Now, how they used to relate among each other, like the gopis, how they used to relate among each other, not only among themselves, plus with people like who had vatsalyas, the devotees, other devotees who had vatsalyas, how they used to relate with them and among themselves.
Who had what?
Gopis, how they used to relate among themselves, because each one of them had their own desire to please Krishna. So among themselves, how they were like with each other, gopis, and also with other rasas like.
The gopis were completely free of pride. The gopis never considered themselves the highest. No one in a transcendental position ever considers themselves the highest. They simply consider themselves infinitely fortunate to serve Krishna in this wonderful way. Therefore, each gopi, how did they relate with one another? In utter harmony. Because they were never considering themselves. They were simply considering Krishna. No gopi considered. By Radharani's grace, sometimes she would arrange that they would be with Krishna. But every gopi is thinking, I am only the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani. What is the mood of the gopis? What is the mood of every resident of Vrindavan toward every other? To be the servant. Everyone is serving everyone else for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever love there is between the gopis and Krishna, that same spirit of love is between every living entity in Vrindavan. Because everyone knows how dear every particle of Vrindavan is to Krishna. Every blade of grass, every particle of dust. What to speak of the calves and the cows and the fathers and the mothers and the gopas and the gopis and the peacocks and the deers. Everyone sees how Krishna is loving every living entity. Therefore, sing how Krishna is showing his love toward everything and everyone. Every resident of Vrindavan has ecstatic love for everything that Krishna loves. Because they're unmotivated, they're unselfish. They see that every creature of Brajbhumi is giving pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, I surrender to everyone because they are doing such wonderful service. They are pleasing my beloved so much. This is Vrindavan Leela. This is the basic platform of consciousness for everyone. But sometimes, beyond this platform of ecstatic love, for the sake of increasing each other's divine attachments for the pleasure of Krishna, sometimes there's rasas of quarrel and everything else. But please know that when we read about the quarrel between different camps of Brijbasis, it is not out of envy. It is simply arranged exclusively for the purpose of increasing the pleasure of Krishna. If Krishna enjoys seeing us fighting over him, we will even fight with someone we consider better than us, someone we love so dearly because of the pleasure they're giving Krishna. We're even willing to compete with them and fight for them as a leela, if that's what gives Krishna satisfaction. The spiritual world is transcendental. Transcendental to all of the qualities of material existence. It's the abode of divine love. Nothing exists in Vrindavan except love. All the millions and trillions of blades of grass in Vrindavan are all immersed in ecstatic love for each other and for every other living being. There's nothing but love between every living being in all of the spiritual world. It is Satchidananda. Absolutely no quality except the highest prema could exist in Goloka. But the particular, extraordinary manifestations of that prema that take place are called lila. And they must be understood in this reference. And for us here in this material world, striving to become purified, we must also, according to our capacity, try to create this atmosphere of love amongst ourselves for the pleasure of Krishna. This is our austerity. And by very strong and strict sadhana, and by performing the great tapasya of humbling oneself to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Gurudev, we can create this Vrindavan atmosphere even here in this world by the grace of Sri Krishna. Thank you very much.